We're going to continue sort of analyzing the way I preached on this gospel from Luke, which is, as you know, quite difficult. You know, it's the one we had on the 21st Sunday, I think it was. 21st Sunday in the year. So you won't be hearing this for several weeks, I don't think. And the gospel was from Luke. Luke 13, 22 to 30. The problem is, how do we preach on our Lord's words about, you know, that watch it. If you're not careful, when you come, I'm going to say, I never heard of you. And you're going to be out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the Lord's love telling us this. How many preachers have to do this all the time? And we have to do it. And so I knew I had to watch a dynamic. Because now I'm going to have to start saying, you know, I began by first saying, it was Pius XII who first said that the greatest sin of our age is the lack of a sense of sin. And then Pope Benedict, no, but John Paul II picked that up, and Pope Benedict picked it up. That the greatest sin of our age is the lack of a sense of sin. We've been inoculated and conditioned. How? Well, think about it. How much violence, immorality is on that television all the time. And so it can't be that bad. I mean, look at all the... Well, it is that bad. And yet, you know, you don't want to sound like you're an angry reformer. So how do you do it? As I said, the first thing I knew was I had to say that. And I quoted those words from the popes about the greatest sin of our age is the lack of a sense of sin. Then I thought, well, what is a sense of sin? It's not just knowing how bad something is, but knowing how merciful God is. That is, I'm offending God who created me, loved me, gave me a vocation of the priesthood, forgave my sins, guides me and corrects me, gives me good friends. You see? And if I sin, a sense of sin is knowing that I have refused the love of the Father. That's the sense of sin. It's not, I'm in trouble. It's that too, but it's not this. So that is the greatest. Now my problem was, how do I create that sense of sin in the people there? And so I thought, well, the only way is to talk about God's love. So I began to talk about God's love, and I said, you see, when we sin, we just refuse to allow God to love us. We just don't want his love. I'd rather have what I can get for myself, whether it's cheating on my taxes, sleeping with the wrong partner, whatever it is, I want that rather than, well, that means I really don't have a sense of sin because I don't know God's love. And that's the lack of a sense of sin. That doesn't mean that our sins are light. We know enough to send ourselves to hell. But we don't know enough without help from the Holy Spirit how to get out of it. And that's the message of the gospel, you see. And so, some people, they're living in the slums and they're getting drunk, and then they have a conversion, and they try, and then they die. And those last could be first. And here I am, a clergyman and a big shot and all the rest. I could be last if I get in at all, if I don't have a realistic grasp of sin. And so I tried to mediate that, what that meant. And the sense of sin means a sense of God's love. And first and foremost. And then a sense, and that's why our Lord told the story this way, you see, a sense of what could happen. Sin will be punished. Our Lord has died for every sin in an incredible agony on the cross. But we have to want that to be applied to us, which means we want to stop sinning. And so there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. You'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. That's a warning. And I have no right to deprive God's people from hearing that warning. They have to hear it. But they have to hear it in a context that's going to help them trust God. Well, so I preached the best way I could. I noticed two guys got up and walked out. I figured, well, two out of 400, that's not bad. But I worried about them. I don't know what to do. Maybe they just had to go to the bathroom, but I never saw them again. I think they got mad because I was talking about sin, and they were probably in sin, cheating on their income tax, committing adultery. I don't know what they were doing. But I had to keep on going. So then I stood at the, this is the good part of the story, at the end of Mass, of course, I'm standing outside, people are coming out, and they always remark on the homily, or nearly always. And so I'm waiting now. Think, oh boy. You see, I have in the back of my mind, I don't know if I told you this earlier in this talk, I was preaching on repentance years ago, and this couple came out and shook my hand and looked at me in the most sarcastic voice, said, "Don't worry, Father, a few will be saved." I thought, thanks, that's nice to hear that, you know? I mean, like, that sarcasm, that, and I worried about that because of that sarcasm is defense. You know, whatever their problem is, they don't want to hear it. So they're going to tell me that I'm some sort of Savonarola. But don't worry, a few will be saved. Well, these people came out. A lot of people didn't say anything. I thought, uh-oh. And then they started to come. How many people thanked me for that homily? And I looked at their faces. They looked like probably the purest of heart in the whole parish. But they understood that a sense of sin means refusing God's love, preferring my ego, my pleasure, my pride to God's love, to the Father's love for me. And that's what makes it such a bad sin. And so a sense of sin. Now, I'm trying to give you all that only because we all face this. We are not allowed to preach consoling sermons every Sunday. Because if we do, we've never corrected our people and given them a chance to change. And the Lord will ask that of us. Why did you not warn them? Why did you not say something? Especially when the gospel, quoting the words of my divine Son himself, warned them. And you didn't help them understand it. I don't want to hear that. And so I just thought it might be worthwhile reflecting on that. I was wondering what aspect of preaching I was going to work on. And I just thought, well, why don't you just tell them what your experience was yesterday when you had to preach my words. Behold, some are last and will be first, and some are first and will be last. You see, you will see people, there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. That's tough. And people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, gathering all the nations. And that's the theme, that why we had that first reading, the one we have. I'm gathering all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. That text from Isaiah that we had, and that's why. God wants to gather the whole world to himself. And our job, among many, is to get the Catholic people in love with God. Because if you're in love with God, you're going to love other people and find a way to help them get out of darkness and sin and fear and worry and oblivion. Most people don't think anything about death because they're afraid to think about it. And yet, they have no way of understanding how to get out of the dilemma. And that's what one of the things we have to preach. this gospel, which is now over for this year, is a great place. And so I began then to think about, well, what just transpired in my own life as I was going through this. The wonderful affirmation that I finally was getting as I stood at the door was just beautiful. Some, you could tell, they're really holy people and they know exactly what I'm talking about. Some others, I don't know if they're holy or not, but I felt that they felt helped, that they were going to get to confession. They were going to, you know, and I thought, what a wonderful thing. And that's why the Lord has this gospel here on this 21st Sunday in Cycle C, so that people can hear this and be changed and come to salvation. And so it was a lesson for me. So two guys walked out. A lot of people didn't say anything, but a good number of people, I can't tell you now, maybe 50 or 60, maybe more, thanked me profoundly for the homily. It was just like some deep instinct in them was confirmed, which, you see, is the illustration of what Pope Pius XII, John Paul II, and Benedict XVI all said, that the greatest sin right now is the lack of a sense of sin, which means a lack of the reality, sense of the reality of God. The reality of God is love, truth, uprightness, light. And to know that, and to know then, see, mercy is not, God is not soft, but He is merciful. And to help people look at their sin without fear and go to God and know the liberty of forgiveness, that's one of our roles. And I just thought it was worth taking this session to just recount my own experience yesterday. I was so glad I hadn't watered down anything that I thought the Lord wanted me to say. Even when I saw these guys walking out, wondering what kind of a tongue lashing, remembering that, "Don't worry, Father, a few will be saved," someplace in the back of my memory, I was so grateful that I didn't pay any attention to that, that I tried to obey the Lord. And the Lord used those words, as I can tell, to help a lot of people. And so I just recount, you might have had the same experience yourselves on this Sunday. Sunday was the August 25th. And so you may have had the same experience yourselves. All I'm saying is, we cannot be afraid to preach the truth. Because if we let our people go through without a real sense of sin, some will drift into hell. And we don't want that. In fact, we're responsible to keeping them out of it. That means preaching the truth. But preach it with love and peace and calm. Watch yourselves, because if you think you're going to get opposition, next thing you do is get all ready for a fight. You can't preach that way. But if you pray, the Lord will show you. The Lord will help you. And you say, "For the love of my people, I am going to preach the truth peacefully and lovingly, but clearly." Amen.